Welcome back to the programme. Well, it's birthday time again, and Sky News is marking its 30th birthday this year. Its launch marked the advent here, I suppose, in the foots of CNN, in the feet of CNN indeed, even, the 24-hour news cycle. And the question is that a good thing or a bad thing? It certainly was part of the movement of the way news is consumed. And I'm joined now by Roddy Flynn, Associate Professor from the School of Communications in Dublin City University, and you're very, very welcome indeed. How much of a change did Sky make? It didn't take off, did it, at the beginning?
No, it was slow to do so, and in fact, if you look at its viewership figures now, they're still fairly low in terms of overall television. You know, less than 1% of the Irish population is watching it at any given moment in time. But it took a while. It was a kind of a loss leader as far as the Murdoch organisation was concerned. News is still a loss leader in point of fact. It costs more to produce than it'll ever take. But it's got prestige attached to it, so that's, you know, kind of why they basically stuck with it. And as the rest of the kind of Sky organisation started making money in the 1990s, they were able to kind of, you know, cross-subsidise it basically, yeah. From elsewhere. So yeah, it took its time, but it's almost impossible to remember just how different news looked before kind of Sky came along.
Remind people.
Well, I mean, people in the studio will remember it. I remember myself. Basically, you've got like three forms of kind of news content, and the main one is the news anchor reading off a pre-kind of read script. And the second part, I suppose, of that is an edited package that has been done in advance. And like I grew up in the 70s and 80s, so I remember people like, you know, Don Coburn and whatever, just kind of sternly reading the news and telling you this is how it is, and maybe very occasionally cutting to an edited package. And that was the kind of variety that you had, right? And then whatever, news for the deaf and the kind of and the weather. Then Sky kicks in, and the key thing I think it introduces is what we call the live two-way. So you have a back and forth basically between the studio, the anchor there, and somebody who's on site.
The reporter in the field.
The reporter in the field. Or even the reporter who's been in the field coming back into the studio to have a kind of face-to-face conversation there. And so that kind of mixes things up a bit. And what you're getting there is a different kind of conversation. It's less about this is what has happened today, although that's still there. But it's also a kind of, it's a lot of projecting forward, right? It's a lot of speculative stuff about what does this all mean? Where are we likely to be in 5 hours' time? And that's the kind of thing that really hadn't been a feature of television news up to that point.
Yeah. And did it evolve, or was it a conscious decision? Or, like, I remember the first time that going to somebody else's house to watch the news was kind of they had coverage on the White House in the Russian changeover. Do you remember the attack on the White House when Yeltsin was when that changeover was
the Russian White House? I thought you meant him at Washington. Sorry.
No. In Russia, and like it was just unbelievable because you were watching it live on television. She couldn't leave the room.
Yeah.
And it's those are the kind of things it's good at.
Yeah, I mean, immediacy is obviously its kind of its stock in trade and its currency. The problem, I suppose, though, with that is that it arguably a trump, you know, speed and kind of immediacy would trump accuracy. And you're going to ask, like, is that something that kind of gradually emerge? No, it's there from day one, because it kind of has to be. Because the problem, obviously, with news is it doesn't present itself in neatly packaged, pre-organized and predictable kind of chunks. So you kind of have to adjust to the fact that the possibility there's not much happening just at the moment. So we have to fill in the space.
Yeah, you know? And they do repeat the same stuff over and over. And if you wanted to come in, and then I'll come around here.
No, well, just I mean, I suppose one of the indicators of success of CNN and then Sky is the fact that everybody then got in on the act. So you know, BBC 24, Bloomberg, even good old RTE, they all do it. And I like it because, you know, there's a group of us who are news junkies, and the idea of being able to sort of sit down at any point and pick up is quite good, but the one thing I'll say, I think the effect they've had, the change in the nature of the meaning of the term breaking news, because again I'm looking at it today. Do you remember when we were kids and like if there was a news flash, it actually meant something big had happened. And I still find it's almost like a Pavlovian reaction or whatever like that, that if I see something like breaking news, I automatically think, oh, this is something big,
really big.
And of course invariably now it's not.
Maureen?
Well, I mean, I see absolutely why that live coverage, you know, is so addictive. But that is its problem, is that we do pay a very big price for this immediacy.
And superficiality?
Yes. One price is that the human brain is attuned to bad news because that's a, you know, it's right. a threat. And so all of the breaking news tends to be, you know, about bad news. So we have very good evidence that people who consume a lot of TV news, in other words, they're there yep, yep. constantly tuning in, that it has all kinds of, you know, unfortunate psychological effects. It makes them more pessimistic. It makes them more anxious, etc. We have the same evidence coming through now about social media.
Right.
And I also think that that the quality of analysis has deteriorated.
Right.
Because if you have to do it every hour, you know,
yeah.
How where's the perspective?
John. It's worth saying they were very lucky, Sky, in the timing of their launch. 1989, after all, was a revolutionary year. And I remember watching it vividly. Tiananmen Square, remember, yeah. in Beijing. And then all of the events in Eastern Europe, the flow of people from East Germany to Hungary. And then later in the year, dramatically, the fall of the Berlin Wall. And as if that wasn't enough, on Christmas Day, we had the Ceausescus
killed
subject
on
to
air.
A mock trial, and we saw their grisly bodies. That was really a salutary change for, you know, the way we actually watched news.
Yeah.
And I think then if you look at their coverage in Bosnia, for example, in sure. the 1990s, they did some very, very good work. But I just remember 1989.
Right.
It's amplified by that coverage. It was really important.
Okay, Roddy, they say, you know, they,
yeah.
that if you want to know what Murdoch's thinking, you read The Sun.
Mm.
How much did Murdoch place his editorial print on that?
Yeah, I think far less so. I mean, as you say, The Sun was utterly unambiguous, you know, kind of. So during the 80s, it's Thatcher, and then after the deal with Tony Blair in 1995, it's a shift towards New Labour. You would be harder pressed to see overt evidence of that, although, I mean, anecdotally, my own kind of feeling is when I look at kind of Sky, I see more of kind of the anchor's opinion kind of drifting across, if only kind of anecdotally. But and the tendency might be to think that Sky is more conservative, even more reactionary, let's say. And some of the figures, people like Kay Burley, has a tendency to kind of let slip to kind of the mask occasionally and kind of say what she really thinks of the Great Unwashed. That said, Adam Bolton, who's there, you know, been the political yeah. editor since kind of day one, is actually of sort of Labour DNA. And it's not widely known, but like he's married to Angie Hunter, who is one of Tony Blair's kind of leading political advisors. His first marriage was to the daughter, I think, of a Labour minister. So he's in that space.
So you're saying by marriage, he has the time to the in-laws.
But there is, you know, he's of that. So it was far less clear. And I think, I suppose, the strength of the established kind of news brands that they were competing against, BBC and ITV going back to 1955, made that much, much harder to kind of to take a more partisan view. Whereas right. newspapers, that had always been the case. They were yeah. inherently partisan.
Yeah.
And at least Kevin, it's not Fox.
Kevin, just, but mind you, let's clarify, Murdoch doesn't own it anymore. That's the end of many a row in our household
Comcast,
about
yeah.
this and that. 24-hour news, what it has done to news, to papers, you know, to television. It kind of was before social media, as Maureen was saying, but it really set the changes in motion.
Yeah, you could call it an infection, if you like, and it has spread everywhere. And it is, I think it's exhausting for us that work day to day in journalism. And it must also be a bit exhausting for the people who consume it, because you can't, from the time you get up in the morning to the time you go to bed at night, the story moves now,
yeah.
but no longer by the hour, but nearly by the minute. And you've seen, I suppose, what Sky brought to that 24-hour news on television, the internet has now brought to print,
yeah.
to something that was always sacrosanct, that you wrote your story and you sat on it and it should be on the front page tomorrow
yeah.
and you deal with the fallout. Now you put it up online and you immediately deal with the fallout on social media, and obviously then that feeds back into the broadcasters who start, and it all kind of, it's symbiotic, but it can also be somewhat toxic nearly, because it all happens so fast.
Yeah, and I mean, to a certain extent, Donald Trump is right about fake news. I mean that's why Storyful and all of those were set up, because mm-hmm. and as we saw from Cambridge Analytica, you can't trust your sources anymore in the way you used to.
there is still a cohort of journalists that can absolutely be trusted, and media outlets that can absolutely be trusted. But you're right in that, and maybe this touched on something Roddy said, it can often be more that the opinion has slipped in to the news rather than the stern man reading you the bare facts.
Okay, another day, another dollar. We could spend an hour on this. Roddy, thank you very, very much indeed.